we have an obligation to everyone else around us and to this world to grow into the best person you can become, okay? That means different things to different people, but ultimately, I believe the only way you do that is to just continue to learn. If we continue to grow, I think you dominate life. The second you stop is where you fail life.
Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 68. I hope you guys are out there enjoying the sun, as I know our guest is today. Peter Arquart is the COO and co-founder of American Wealth Builders, a national turnkey real estate investment company. American Wealth Builders' mission is focused on providing passive, cash-flowing real estate investments that are accessible to and viable for any level of investor. So, techie community, listen up. Peter has a BSc in mechanical engineering from UPenn. It's no surprise he's energized by configuring systems and streamlining operations, as well as a total efficiency junkie. An entrepreneur to the core, Peter's true passion lies in building. From the age of 13, Peter has owned and operated over 15 businesses. He's designed and implemented an entire software system for turnkey real estate investing. Whether building connections, businesses, or systems, he's happiest seeing foundations of hard work and collaboration grow into meaningful productions. Most weekends, you can find Peter on the boat, making deals, and enjoying the lifestyle only South Florida has to offer. Peter, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. You've got such great content that you're sharing with your viewers, and I'm honored, honestly, that we've been able to create a system that works so well that you're actually looking at it as something you want to, you know, talk about. So that gives me pumped up. You know, that's my baby. Everything that I work on every day is the system that drives everything, and I'm a systems nut. And I think you'll get that through this, but I just love talking about it. I love, you know, working on it. I love it, breaking it and fixing it and doing all that that comes along the way. So,
excellent. Well, I am excited for this interview as well. I love it when the guests come on and have so much energy and passion for what they're doing. Tell us a story of how it is you saw the future before you began to brand yourself or build out your business. From what I understand, you were actually running businesses back at the age of 13. So let's kind of take it way back to childhood and tell me, what was it that you would tell your parents you want to be when you grow up? What is it you thought the future would look like?
Yeah, no, that's an amazing question. From a very young age, I had influences from both my mom and dad that I think kind of really shaped that for me. And not to get into the detail of it, but my dad is a civil engineer, and my mom was a school teacher. And my mom's family had come over from Cuba in 1971 with the clothes on their back and nothing else. And that story is very powerful to me. Obviously on a lot of different levels there with the family tie and work ethic and all that. But
right. More
importantly for my mom, she understood that the best path for her kids moving forward was to just put them in an environment where there was a lot of opportunity first and foremost. And from there, the knowledge and the experience and everything would come. So because of those two sides, I kind of got this very systematic, analytic approach, understanding the way things worked for my dad. And then I also got this more marketing, sales, people person, opportunity-driven side from my mom. And it was very interesting having both of those things come together from neither side that actually even thought about being a business owner or an entrepreneur. That wasn't something that existed for them. And it just naturally fit into who I wanted to be and the path that I wanted because of that influence. So at a very young age, I already knew that. And then you take technology and you kind of, you know, cross-sect that in there, and it just makes it a no-brainer for a guy like me. You know, somebody who can understand the basic of the tech, but then also understand how it can apply, how it can grow business, how it can change the world in which we live in. Those are where the tech visionaries and the tech, you know, COOs, the guys that really make it happen in the tech world, that's where they come from. So I recognized that very early on, and I recognized that I had a skill set when it came to the way I viewed tech that was different, and it was really my niche. So at 13, at 14, you can imagine, you know, kind of having all this stuff swirling around, you just kind of say, and this is always something I love to share because entrepreneurs love making things more difficult. At 13, there's only so difficult you can make it because you don't know that much yet, right? So people struggle with, well, how do I set up an LLC? It wasn't even a thought to me. I just said, well, I get online, I figure out SunBiz, I get online, I book it, and then we're done. Now I have an LLC, now I'm a business, right? So at 13, I took a lot of those steps to just kind of naturally do things because I just wanted to figure it out. And I said, well, you know, if I make money and I don't do the business structure the right way, does it really negatively affect me? Sure, I may have some taxes to pay, but I'm here trying to grow and learn, so that's minimal compared to what my goals are. And I think that's a really important lesson that I've kept with me for a long time. And you kind of, you talk about a little bit how there's no such thing as a failure. It's just feedback. Mm-hmm. That's really how it's been for me forever. I've never viewed things as like, oh my, this is going to be the end to everything. It's okay if this doesn't work. Here's what I'll probably learn from it. Here's the other things that I'm not even thinking about I'm going to learn from it. And then we move forward. And when you start that at 13 and then you get to 18 and 25 and 30, it changes your perspective a lot. And I will say it's a little bit harder to kind of go and learn when at a young age you view things that way. Mm-hmm. But it's also even more of a reason why you have to go and learn, because there are things that you do at a young age without the knowledge that you just do because you're trying to make things happen. And then you kind of have to take a step back and better yourself in how you do those in the future. So, yeah, that's the nutshell for me. There's 8 years old all the way through where I am today at 33 and kind of how that's evolved.
I love it. So what I really love is the way you explained how at 13 you really simplified or understood that your niche was the ability to simplify systems and really began understanding the concept of risk versus reward and you know, as you mentioned, understanding the concept of there being no such thing as failure, only feedback, and taking that feedback and helping yourself grow from that. So tell me a little bit about this journey at 13 and this first business that you began.
Yeah, so it was pretty simple. I just I had a desire to know more. And that's really, I mentioned my dad's side, and that's where it comes from. I mean, he had this expression when we were very young. He would always teach us to never be afraid to ask questions and want to know more. He used to tell us inquisitive minds need to know, right? And that's never something to apologize for. And that was huge for me in growing up. So at 13, I honestly looked at our family computer, and I'm like, I really want to know how that works. I got to figure out how this thing works. So I started taking them apart, putting them back together, figured out, you know, if I took this out, this is what that did, and just trial and error and figuring out the way the systems work. And that's where it all came from there. I figured out computers really early. I figured out hardware. I started doing at-home troubleshooting and at-home support, which at the time it really was unheard of. You know, there wasn't, we're talking a time when Gateway Computers was big, right? So if you're listening to this and you remember Gateway, you're like, oh my God, I haven't heard that name in so long. So Gateway was so marketing heavy, you know, on TV, and you had the old cow and all that kind of stuff. So it was it's funny. We look back now and we're so fast paced in the tech world that it's easy to look back and say, wow, the tech was so young back then, but it really was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking, what are we talking here? In 1997, right? So in mid-90s, like tech, yeah, we had it. And of course, you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, in the 80s, it was even worse. But in the 90s, really, was tech was out there in the mainstream, but it was still so young. Right. My first computer I ever programmed on was a Commodore 64. So I took it back even further. but you know, at that age, it was really just a pat. I just loved computers and loved the way they worked. And I knew that people needed somebody who understood that. And it started as simply as the teachers at my high school. My mom was a teacher there. She was always, you know, always connected. So I had kind of a different relationship with the staff than just a straight student. Mm-hmm. But teachers were always like, oh, Peter's the computer guy. Hey, I had this problem. Can you come over to the house and fix it for me? And that's just where it all started. And it really just expanded from there. So from that age, I really understood a couple lessons in business really early on that I think a lot of people struggle to find out. And they're really simple lessons. First and foremost, go to where the demand is. I already had customers looking for this. It just happened to be something that I was looking to learn anyways. So it made it very easy. And I do this in air quotes. It made it easy to create a business because I look back then and I don't look at that as a business. I just look at it as me doing at-home tech support. But it was a business. It just was very, very young. So you know, that was there. And then obviously the big lesson, you hear a lot of entrepreneurs talk about it, really hard to put it into practice for a lot of people. But I kind of backed into just doing what I was passionate about instead of trying to figure out what I was passionate about in order to make money. I kind of went the opposite way. But that passion, there's nothing your customers or your employees or anybody you have to come into interaction with in business, there's nothing that's going to resonate at a higher level than the passion just pouring out of you.
Definitely. I love your two lessons there. Yeah. I love that. Number one, find the demand. Go where the need actually is. And then two, just follow your passion. Don't try to figure out what your passion is while you're attempting to work on something. Just follow what your passion naturally is. And I think that's a great way to explain it, simply because I find there's a lot of entrepreneurs making this an uphill battle by attempting to find what their passion is in a specific niche versus the other way around, where you are just following your own passion and naturally you'll find that niche. That's excellent.
Yeah, the truth is with it, and I don't think enough people talk about it this way, your passion can change slightly. You're going to adjust a little bit, right? As you grow, you're going to figure out that you actually really love doing this a little bit more than this. You know, that there's always an adjustment to that piece. It's not like, oh, well, when I was 10 years old, I knew I was passionate about horses, so I went into veterinary medicine, and that's all I did for the rest of my life. That's great, but it doesn't always work that way. A lot of times, it's an evolution of your passion that's also side-by-side with your skill set, because the more skilled you get at something, the more energy you put into it, the more you get out of it. So it's kind of a combination of all these things, but it really starts with figuring out your unique ability and then what you really want to do. How do you want to spend your time in life?
I absolutely love that, an evolution of your passion along with your skill set, and I think that's very true. It is something that can transfer and shift and change and grow along with the experiences, not just your skill set, but, you know, the different experiences that you'll have throughout life will assist in making that perceived reality of X, Y, and Z being your passion actually change. So what do you feel was one of the most difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur? What do you think was the hardest part of getting to that point where you created the LLC? So, of course, you started early on at 13, and you already had, you know, an audience and a market that was kind of there. So what do you feel was the most difficult part for you in terms of becoming an entrepreneur and starting your first business?
Yeah, so I think because some of that stuff came easily because it was already there, I didn't have to learn how to create those things. So, you know, when you step into a market where there's already some demand, you can, depending on how much market share you can get very quickly, you can almost trick yourself into never having to learn how to market properly because there's already buyers there waiting for you. So I, you know, as you get into business and as business grows, there's some things that, you know, in the beginning you don't have to worry about that you may have to learn about later on. And it almost sets you backwards a little bit because really, and this has really come from my lessons and now working with entrepreneurs through some of our programs, the marketing piece of it, the sales piece of it is something too many people discount, and it's the only thing ultimately that matters in your business. If there's nothing else, marketing and sales are the only thing that matters because if you don't have that, you don't have income coming in. So that was a little difficult for me. I think it held me back in seeing some of the opportunities to make that into a bigger business. But as I was also 13, right? So I didn't have 100% focus on growing that business. So it was a little bit different for me.
Right.
I will say maybe later on, maybe kind of 5 years down the road, it was even harder for me when I went to college. So I go to college and I initially was computer and telecom major because that's the field that I had already been working in. At that point, I had worked with some of the most advanced networks in the country through my high school. It was a very wealthy high school. We had fiber optic running between buildings at the time, which, you know, was very advanced technology. So I got experience with a lot of things. And then I had to kind of, in my view, take a step back and now go learn about them from a theoretical point of view in school. And that just didn't work for me. And that's something that speaks to my drive on me being an entrepreneur. I'm an action taker. I do take a lot of time, you know, really researching and making sure I'm making the right decisions. But ultimately, I take action on those. And when you've been in the field making money and you try and go back and learn in that field, it's very, very difficult. So that was a major holdback for me that I always really reflect back on, because I sit here a lot of times and I think, what am I not seeing, or what am I maybe covering up in my vision that I really need to focus more time and energy on?
What I want to kind of focus on is what you were mentioning, even though it was at the age of about 13, but was the inability to see opportunity. And I think even though it was, even though you were only 13, I think that's very true for a lot of entrepreneurs. When you're not focusing on the marketing and sales aspect of the business, when you're not working on, you know, the business as a whole, when you're stuck in wino mode, as I call it, working in and not on the business, you don't have the ability to see what you could possibly accomplish with the business because you're so overwhelmed with what it is you're currently producing or running through on a day-to-day basis.
And to that point, you know, what's even further than that, you know, there's a situation where you don't see the opportunities, and then there's a situation when you see all the opportunities, but you really don't know which ones you should be attacking. And they come for both, really, and they come at different, you know, you could be 2 days into your business and you could be dealing with that. We have so much, we got into somewhere where the demand was already there, but now we have so much opportunity and so little time, we don't even know what to focus on. And it's the same effect, because you're working in the business and not on it, you don't have clarity of what's actually going to drive you forward and move the needle. You have clarity on what can I do today that's going to affect tomorrow, but it's your job as the entrepreneur to take the step back and say, okay, that's great and that has to happen, but how do I focus ultimately my time and energy on the things that are going to drive us over 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then translate that down to what has to happen day to day? Because the problem is, if you focus on the day to day and you try and translate up, it doesn't work. If you start at the top and translate down to daily activity, that's where your goal comes through and your long-term planning comes through in everything you do day to day. So what I'd warn entrepreneurs and your listeners to is, you know, don't just chase the opportunity because it's there. You have to really look at what's the right opportunity for you at the time.
Definitely. Taking a step back, as we were mentioning, and really taking that time to work on your business versus being stuck in it. So tell us a little bit about American Wealth Builders and how you started the company as a whole.
Yeah, so American Wealth Builders is one of the nation's largest turnkey real estate providers. So without getting into a lot of detail, what that essentially means is we provide our clients with fully rehabbed, tenant placed, management included, insurance, every piece that you need in a rental property to produce passive income. We have a 20-year history. So I haven't been doing this for 20 years, but my co-founder, my business partner, has been doing this for about 20 years. And, you know, similar story. He came up with no money. He just tried to figure out a way to change the wealth dynamic in his family. Got into real estate from just hanging out in the right places, figured it out, and just started doing it. Made a lot of mistakes in the beginning, broke a lot of things. I think at one point he had a bunch of bench warrants out against him for just not running the properties the right way.
So
a lot of mistakes that, you know, and it's funny because you say, oh, no, I hear it all the time in real estate because you get overwhelmed. It's a lot. It's a lot that you have to handle. So he made a lot of the standard mistakes that we saw. And then really got to a point where he became a real estate expert through a lot of those mistakes. But at that point, you know, was doing a lot of deals, making some decent money, but he was a coffee shop millionaire at that point, to be honest. You know, he had built this business, built up a big following, but he was doing deals on a yellow notepad with a flip phone still, very old school. And you know, had gotten to the point where basically he was going to stay where he was in terms of growth, or really for him, he was going to shut down because he never wanted to be the only person driving the business. Mm-hmm. So from there, I hooked up with Mark about 7 years ago, and that's really where my tech background, my systems approach combined with his sales and marketing and just real estate side, and we just got a great blend in terms of working together. What took that a step further was really looking out to the market and saying, we had to make a couple realizations for us. We said, what are we really good at? What kind of value do we have that we can provide people every single day? Whether they buy from us or not, just to being able to share information, how can we positively affect everybody that we talk to? And then two, we knew that the secret to true wealth creation was real estate because we had been doing it. We know this also because 97% of the 1% in this country created it from real estate at some point or another. So we knew that was the secret. We knew that we were sitting on something that enabled more people to get into real estate than where the market was at the time. We just had to figure out a way to really systematize and build a business and brand around it. And that's where American Wealth Builders came from. So our whole goal was, how do we allow the everyday blue-collar working investor to get into real estate? How do we change the conversation to, oh, you have an IRA, it's controlled by, you know, this Fidelity, and it just sits there and they do whatever with it, you don't really know what's going on, to people actually taking hold and control of their retirement planning and setting up a better future for themselves. And that's why that brand got created, and that's why we continue to do the same type of product today that we started with 20 years ago, because we know our niche, because we know where we can be successful, and we know this allows people to get into real estate at a much lower price point than where they're thinking at, with a lot less risk. So, you know, if you kind of look at that all in all, it really was about us knowing our value first and foremost, and us knowing what we could actually do in the marketplace. And that's really what created all of those things as a perfect storm, honestly, for American Wealth Builders and what we've seen. And over the last couple of years, what's been beautiful about it is there's even something happening in that customer base that we didn't predict. And that's people stepping up more and more into taking control of their finances. It's something we see the millennials doing. You know, there's a lot of bad articles out there about it. But we're really at a time now when between knowledge and expertise, there's so much at your fingertips that it does enable you to take a little bit more control of that piece. And it's been awesome. The last couple of years have just been staggering growth for us. And again, if I can leave everybody listening to this with one lesson, no matter what you do in business, make sure that you have a value that you're providing your customers. If you focus on that, you're always providing value no matter what you do. The sales will come as a result.
Value. Make sure that you understand what the value is you're providing. But I'm going to bring it back. Once again, Peter, you are awesome. But I just kind of want to highlight a couple of pieces because you mentioned something, not just understanding that value, not just understanding what it is that you provide, but also understanding how it is you're going to deliver that value to your market. And I thought that was a really important piece that you brought up there, is, you know, you may know your niche market, you may understand what value you want to provide, but get a grasp on how it is you plan to provide that value to your market.
The truth is that's the secret in business. That's what you're doing when you're building a business, right? You have some kind of idea, you have some kind of want, and you're just trying to figure out how to fill the gap.
Exactly.
You know, so that's why we talk a lot about vision on here and value and stuff like that. But without that, you're not building a business. You're trying to figure out what business you want to be in. Once you figure that out, now you're really talking about building a business.
Or you're hanging out, playing around with a hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and just enjoying one of the two. But definitely, so Peter, I appreciate your advice to the audience there in terms of, you know, really making sure that if anything, that they figure out what that value is. But is there any other tip, trick, or a tool that you might have in your back pocket that you think would be, you know, really useful to the listeners throughout their journey?
Oh, I have so many. I'll just kick it back to kind of my core principles in anything in business. You heard the first one with value. The second one really is more personal. It's about you. And I have a belief, first and foremost, about people that we have an obligation to everyone else around us and to this world to grow into the best person you can become, okay? That means different things to different people, but ultimately, I believe the only way you do that is to just continue to learn. Whether it's something you are weak on and you want to just, you know, learn more about it and read more about it, whether it's something that you feel like you've done a great job accomplishing that you want to share with other people, through all those experiences you're learning. I'm sure you can sit here and talk about, you know, just in doing the podcast, as a host, you learn a lot. When we do education events, we learn just as much. And the reason for that is this. It's all about perspective. Right. Nobody in this world has done everything in every situation. right? Nobody is an encyclopedia for when this situation happens at this time and this day and these three people are involved, here's exactly what you do, right? So without that, you have to learn how to handle situations and how to strategize. That comes from a different perspective to me. It comes from knowing, you know, not what somebody did in that situation, but higher level thinking in terms of where you're trying to go or what you're trying to serve, or, you know, all these things that we talk about on a really global level. Ultimately, that comes down to you learning from other people who have been there before, gaining different perspectives, even if it's somebody you don't agree with. I think that's even more powerful. I think one of the obligations we have in business as we grow is to surround ourselves with people that don't just do what we say, that challenge that and challenge us to be better. And all that comes back to that one point. If we continue to grow, I think you dominate life. The second you stop is where you fail life.
It's all about having an open mind, gaining new perspectives, because, as you mentioned, nobody really has any ability to get a grasp on reality, because reality is perspective.
You know, and really for me, it's about conquering life, if I really look at it. You know, everything, if you're doing life right, you should be presented with challenges that you don't know how to handle. Right? That otherwise you're not growing. If you're dealing with the same thing every day, I don't know about you guys, but that is boring to me. I get excitement out of being challenged and figuring out the solution and moving forward and then looking back and going, wow, that's something 10 years ago I never thought I'd be able to accomplish or never thought I'd be able to conquer, and I just did it with ease. And that's when you really start realizing that you're becoming a bigger and better person and what you can accomplish in life. And to me, guys, whether it's money, whether it's, you know, you're trying to provide money for your family or change the wealth dynamic or get a nice car or house, whatever your goals are in life, ultimately, if you're focused on that, the fulfillment comes from that growth more than anything.
Definitely. Life is not meant to be a monotony. It's definitely not. You're supposed to challenge and enjoy. So, excellent. Peter, if you had a time machine and you could possibly go back, say, 10 to 15 years, even 20, 30 years, and you could tell yourself just one thing before you began this entrepreneurial journey, what do you think that one thing would be?
So I'm going to give you a little joke of an answer because it's the engineer in me that has to say it. If I had a time machine and I'd go back 15 years and tell myself something, I'd hand myself the plans for the time machine. Really, right? So that's
definitely
a funny answer for you, because there's the engineer like, well, why wouldn't I just take it back? But no.
Right.
When it comes to – so I want to state this very clearly, because I think too many people skew this one. I don't have any regrets in life. I believe you can't be happy about where you are and look back and have regrets. It's all part of your journey that got you to where you are today. But there are ways we can look back and look at how we could have been more efficient with certain things that just help us be better moving forward. So that's kind of the way I frame that question. For me, it really comes down to perspective, and I'll say mentors, but it's a little bit bigger than mentors. It's about surrounding yourself by people that are going to help you grow. I've gone through a couple phases in my life where I've actually cut friends and cut relationships out of my life because I didn't feel like they were helping me grow as a person. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could say whatever about that, but ultimately our charge in life, nobody's going to live your life except for you. So if you're not pushing forward to be the best person you can be, nobody else is going to step in and handle that to you. So that to me comes down to a lot of what we've talked about here in terms of growth and being around people and surrounding yourself by different perspective. And had I understood that to a higher level at 13, I can't even imagine where I'd be now 20 years later. I really can't, because I know how little I sought that back then. I know how much I put the pressure on myself, you know, as a solopreneur who just said, well, anything I create is going to be about what I do, and not understanding that, okay, that's great, but really if you're going to create true wealth in life or true business or whatever it is, it's going to be because of other people. It's not going to be because of you. And that's something I fought for a very, very long time, that until the most recent couple of years was a holdback in my business that now that I'm past that has meant exponential growth in my people and my leadership and my teams. I mean, it's unheard of. So Yeah.
Surrounding yourself with the right people. It's extremely important. We are the sum of the five people we spend the most time with. And, you know, if you spend time with those that are not assisting you in fulfilling that dream or accomplishing the goals that you set out for yourself, it's just going to hold you back on this journey. So I think that's an excellent thing to tell yourself.
And you have to be really honest with yourself, because I love the expression, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yes.
Because it is so easy, especially when you develop a certain skill set, especially at a younger age. I mean, I've dealt with, in most situations I've been in, I've been that young smart buck in the room who just kind of figured it out. And I viewed that as a positive for a lot, and now I view it as a negative. It's a positive because you have the opportunity to really shine at a different level. But if you're always the smartest person in the room, you're not growing at the rate you should. And it's easy to fall into that because it feels good. Right, it feels good to be in a room where people need you and want something from you. It's uncomfortable to be in a room where you feel like all these guys are way bigger than me. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I feel like I'm tiny compared to them. That comfort or that lack of comfort is what ultimately pushes you into the growth phase.
Definitely. In fact, it's funny that you say that. One of the things that I kind of tell a lot of my clients to do is focus on networking events outside of your industry. You know, stop being so complacent in going to events where people in your industry are to hang out and chit-chat with people in your industry. It's not helping you move forward with your business if you're stagnant and staying with the same faces and people that you already know. There's no prospect or opportunity if it's a stale environment. Definitely, I love that. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea to solve the pain in an industry that they may not have even been thinking of. And we have yet to kind of delve into the real estate world. So, Peter, we'd absolutely love to be able to help you. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
You know, it wouldn't necessarily be a change as much as an expansion. I know that we have a lot of value to provide. I know that once I get to talk to somebody who has a pain that we know we can help with. That's what it's all about for us, right? So it's all about just helping people at a higher level. So for me, I don't know that it's changed as much as I would just like to reach more people. I want more people talking about real estate like they do investing in the stock market, the positive parts of that, not the negative parts. But you know, the whole reason we created the system that we did in this business was so that if you're somebody who invests in the market now, you could just as easily get into real estate. And the pain of that really was an industry, you know, I hate to knock other industries, but the truth of where we live in now is we have a financial services industry that is very much stuck in the old ways and does not put you as the investor first and foremost. And that's something industry-wide that we have set out to change with real estate and really with financial services at a larger scale. So the unfortunate part is, This is the piece in our lives that we think the least about that has the biggest effect on our future, and that's retirement planning, wealth strategy, all these things along the way. Too many entrepreneurs sit there every day working so hard to build a future for themselves and build a business and are successful with a lot of things, but then don't take the time to plan out that 20, 30-year retirement strategy that's going to allow them at 65 or 70 to just have cash flow coming in and go live the life they want to. Too much of the industry trains you to not even think that way. They train you to think of having 80% of your income at retirement that you do now. And we're the kind of guys where we sit here and we hear these things and go, I'm sorry, but I'm working now full time. And you want me to plan on living the best years of my life spending 80% of the money I spend now? Let's try 800%, because that's really the life I want to live. So for us, in terms of change and expansion, it's about message, and it's about, again, I use this word so much, but it's about perspective. It's about realizing that, you know, there are certain things you have to do in your life that nobody else is going to do for you. Too many people have relied on money managers and the financial services industry to do the right thing by you. And I hate to be the one who has to make this point to everybody, but nobody is protecting your financial future except for you.
Right. Right, definitely. No, unfortunately, I do have to agree. I think it's very important that people take a close look at their own investment future, you know, whether it is through a job where they have, you know, specific benefits that are being provided, or whether they are an entrepreneur looking at their own investments and their own opportunities to grow in the future. It's something that everybody needs to take a step back and look at, because in this day and age, and you're right, Peter, we have to be honest about it, nobody else is doing anything when it comes to your retirement except for you. And if you're not doing anything about your own retirement, guess who's doing something about your retirement? Nobody.
Well,
so.
You know, well, here's the thing. The truth is we just had something happen in the industry that kind of is case in point of this. They just had a fiduciary law change where now, you know, a lot of these guys in the financial services industry have to act in your best financial interest first and foremost, right?
Yep.
Here's the crazy part. I hear that and I go, we really had to get to this point and create a law that's the way that things should be run. It's your money. You're trusting it in the hands of somebody else to grow that money for you, and you have to create a law that tells that person that they have to act in your best interest.
Right.
To me, if you are not looking at this kind of stuff and standing up, especially as an entrepreneur, you're taking hold of your life as an entrepreneur, so you are, you know, the action taker more than your neighbor probably. If you're not standing up going, whoa, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, just follow the logic and look at, mm-hmm. you know, what benefits your life. You want people on your team that are going to back you and you know, put you in a better position. This world is too hard on your own. This world is too hard if you have people on your team that are fighting you. There's way too many people out there that are going to fight you along the way. So you have to kind of figure out – you have to take ownership, and I think, you know, to back it up to where that really comes from, and this is a great lesson for entrepreneurs as well, you have to figure out what is your goal and why is that your goal. You know, why are you investing? So we talk with everybody about, you don't invest to make money. That's not the higher purpose behind it. There's something bigger that's driving you to want to make that money. That's what you have to keep in focus all the time. And you have to make sure that you're translating that into real goals that you can achieve both short-term and long-term. As soon as you have those two pieces, decisions get easier, hiring the right people get easier. Everything you have to do to achieve that goal gets easier because you have clear vision.
The why is so unbelievably important in any journey. That ability to motivate yourself, the ability to clarify your journey as an entrepreneur, it all boils down to the why. You know, and I love the way you stated that, the goal and the why behind that goal. So, Peter, you've been absolutely wonderful. I truly appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Absolutely. So, I appreciate being here as well. I love sharing this stuff, if you couldn't tell from my energy. But AmericanWealthBuilders.com is our main website. You can find us all. You can find my entire team there. Find me there as well. Contact information is right there on the site. You can chat, you know, with our team right in there. Whatever you need, that's where I'd probably start. You can also find us on YouTube and iTunes. We have a podcast as well that's centered just on real estate investing. Really our strategies that have been that have worked for us throughout the 20-year history that we have. So other than that, Google, Facebook, all that fun stuff, we're all over the place. If you just search for American Wealth Builders, you'll find us. If you can't find me easily, I'm not doing my job. That's the way I look at it. So it's all about sharing more of the message with you guys. So
excellent. Peter Urquhart, you are easing the access to real estate investment for everyone. So thank you. And I truly appreciate you sharing today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Peter, thank you again for joining us for episode 67. We truly appreciate you sharing your time. And techie community, if you're interested in learning more about how you can begin building passive, cash-flowing real estate investments, be sure to reach out to Peter. You can find him at AmericanWealthBuilders.com or on our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Peter Urquhart. Or you can just go ahead and type his name into the search bar on our homepage and his show notes page will pop right up. Thank you again for hanging out with me here. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.